Push the button. Good morning. We're gathered in the BCC conference room. It is July 24th at 11:02.
Hey, good morning.
Just barely made it in from the fire.
Yeah, how did it go?
Update.
I think they didn't have any bad winds yesterday and the day before. So they've got these perimeters set up, and then now they're building the back perimeters, and they're... I think they're getting a handle on it.
Yeah, okay. Sure seems.
I think they're getting they're finally going to get a handle on it, I think.
Really? That'd be wonderful.
They expected lightning and thunder and winds and everything day before yesterday. Didn't come. And the National Weather Service guy last night told us he didn't expect anything for the rest of the week.
Okay, right. Good.
So that's huge. A plus.
And 3 days without winds or something like that. So.
Yeah, and that'll be huge.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So no, that's hope. Hopeful. Yay. Thank you.
No structures lost yet, so.
We need to get this air cleaned up.
Yeah. Got stuff to
be
do.
Nice.
I know.
This is one of the biggest weekends, tourist-wise, for the whole Rogue Valley.
Exactly. Yeah.
Jackson and Josephine with crossings going, country crossings going, and back to the 50s here. And
Cave Junction's Bluegrass Festival. The Chamber of Commerce does it every year as their fundraiser. That's not going to happen. They already canceled it.
Wow.
Oh, did they cancel
the overall lasting impact to me is that, okay, I've come to Oregon for 3 years running and I've never seen it yet.
The reputation.
Because of the smoke. Mm-hmm. I'm not going back.
Yes. No, I agree.
I am not going back. So.
Yeah. Mayor Fowler coming? Or?
He is. He is coming, yes.
Okay.
He's going to say remember.
But I don't have a whole lot today, personally.
I'm putting together the PowerPoint. I went and did my tour of all the off-ramps.
Okay.
It's stunning. Okay, what are we doing here? I mean, I've got some stuff from here that's just flat ugly. Even the little beautification strip that goes across the railroad tracks on the parkway, dead, dying, all the PVCs just kind of laying there. No irrigation, no nothing.
So, just
weeds this high.
Just to backtrack a little bit, because I remember there was an agreement made between ODOT and the city. I don't remember whose responsibility was what, so just I'm asking for clarification on that, because obviously it's not working.
Mike Baker, I don't know whether he's their spokesman, because he's not, because this is all a maintenance issue.
Okay.
I'm trying to reach out to the maintenance, to get maintenance guys out here. I don't want to go in and undercut them and say they aren't doing their job.
You mean the ODOT?
I want to hear what their challenges are. If they say, I don't have any money and I don't have any place to get money, then can we help you lean on the hierarchy? Can we help you lean on whoever?
That just still doesn't answer my question, though. Whose responsibility is what? So I remember the irrigation was brought by us. Is that right? I mean, I'm just talking.
Mike Baker, to answer your question.
Okay,
Mike Baker said that they would put the landscaping in if we would keep it watered.
Watered. Okay, that's what I thought.
Fidget spinners aren't loud.
These things out of here.
Oh.
I don't hear that, and this thing is just the best thing ever.
Because I'll get a text message from Michelle Binker. He's like, stop Dan from doing that. That's all I can hear in the Madagascar. Because it's right by the mic. What I meant to do. It's great, but he can't hear it.
We are overrun by mice.
We're getting a handle on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, man or mouse, squeak up. Anyway, that's what I was led to believe. And then they did some work out at the South Y. You know, they mowed and they put some bark dust down and whatnot.
Keep watering it.
And we keep watering the bark dust and mowed. And I don't know if it got any farther than that. But when you look at the maintenance, you know, and the PowerPoint will show you the difference in maintenance between what they do elsewhere and what we'd get here. We don't even get anything to maintain.
Right.
It's hard for us to dedicate water to a weed patch.
Well, that's my thought.
Tim Freeman about Roseburgs, they had to fight for years to get that improved. So it shouldn't be, you know, maybe it just doesn't happen. We actually have to go to the mat and suggest that it happen.
Yeah.
Why should we have to fight for it, though?
What are we fighting for?
I don't know. I think it's a matter
of the off-ramps.
Squeaky wheel gets the grease.
You don't get the grease. I would say that's... And that's my point, too, because I agree.
Why wouldn't they want to give it up?
I went through, and I noticed the bark, and I noticed the watering, but what I did notice is that there wasn't much more than bark, and it was just like, why are we watering the bark?
We're watering dandelions and nettles and stuff like that. Junipers. Right.
Junipers
that have long since died, and the ones up on North Town just got blackberries growing out, and they're about to trim that back. It's pretty sad when you go, even Canyonville on their... facade thing on the overhead. It says Canyonville etched into the stone and everything. That's pretty nice.
The bridge.
into the bridge, and we, if you look at the underside of the overpass coming underneath when you come into town, it's still got chunks of rebar this far hanging on the bottom of the cement. They didn't trim those off. Why? Grant passed, don't worry about it.
Well, it's nice that it's so starkly different. I mean, if we were talking about, well, we've got weeds instead of grass or something like that, the margin of error, really, is that what you're complaining about? But it's so stark.
Yeah.
You should have something to talk about.
If you go over to, and
be thankful that it's and so bad.
Dead grass can be done tastefully. If you go over to Ashland's, their north exit.
North,
well, it can
north.
Be.
California has perfected it for years.
But it's got, it's got, the grass is dead. It's all brown, but it's all mowed. And then they've got, it looks like desert plants and rim rocks and stuff lined up. It's pretty snazzy looking.
Yeah.
And zero maintenance. I mean, there's some zero maintenance stuff they could do there, but it's like it's whatever grew up 30 years ago or 50 years ago, golden.
Well, and even if they won't give us the off-ramps for whatever reason, the South Y is still worth fighting for, because I'd love to land, they're not going to fix that for 10, 15 years.
That will
so
be
we might as well make
project,
that pretty for a while. Because you know they're not coming. Because after we get our three lanes, we hope, cross your fingers, and our Allen Creek, then they'll be done with us for a while again.
Well, Rob has kind of at least an update on the trajectory for the third
Rob, you want to come up?
Yep.
This is Rob Brandis. We all know Rob.
So nice to see you.
Great to be here. Great to be here. So, yeah, the 199, so we met, you probably heard a bit from Jason, we met with Art just before I went on vacation to basically kind of feel out what's the likelihood and the functionality of porting that money from the Allen Creek project over to a slip lane in front of town. Art was generally in support of it. His tact, I think it was a good one, was to figure out what the city and county want to do first and propose it as an idea to the RV Act, as opposed to going in there and shaking our fists saying, you got to move that money, which I think he would endorse keeping that money here locally, but just that how it's couched was going to make a big difference to sell it to the Act.
Is it going to take all the money out?
It would move, the proposal would be to move everything from Allen Creek over, and I think it's $950,000, give or take, which is going to get us nowhere near getting that project done, but at least to have it as a stake to get it moving.
Well, and enough to try and backfill later on Allen Creek.
Right.
Because it doesn't gut that completely. We still have engineering going forward and
property
acquisition. And
if the city pulls the project on Allen Creek, as it sounds, you'd have to repay the money that was spent for the preliminary engineering. And I don't know what that number is, but
it's about 200 and something, we believe. And it's all dollars that are still well spent, because it's engineering we're going to have to get done eventually anyhow.
Right.
And so the Allen Creek Road project may be put on the back burner, but it may be it's more developer pushed instead of city and state and county pushed. And so, but we've already got some of the engineering taken care of, and we slowly build out.
So we have a plan for them to work around.
Yes.
Yeah, and I don't know if that repayal would go towards the 950 as well, if that would be on top of it. I don't know how they would review that, how they would look at that as a credit back towards the 950, because I think the 950 is where it's at now. It's been drawn down on a bit, I think.
Certainly the greater good is the third lane on the highway.
Yeah. Most definitely.
Oh my God!
I agree.
That's got to be a greater good.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think,
especially with you guys, moving forward.
Yeah, I think
that's good for everybody.
And one of the things, and Mr. Kubik brings up a good point. You know, people are going to say, "Well, you wasted all that money over there." To say no, even if it is developer driven, that is kind of a selling point to just say, you know, you want to develop this. We've already got all your engineering figured out. You're going to have to pay for. You're going to pay for the actual pavement and all the other stuff, which you would have to do if you were building your own street back through your with a cul-de-sac.
No gifts.
You're going to have to do it, except you have to do your own engineering. Here, the engineering is already done. It's not money thrown away. Mm-hmm. It has value. And how that shelf life on that engineering should be quite a while, because it really hasn't changed. It won't change a bunch out there.
It's good to go because it's street standards. It's all that kind of stuff.
Right.
It's not something
that
will be updated.
If we loose a little federal standards, you could actually...
You could make it for cheaper.
Yeah.
You have more flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
But I would imagine it's to their advantage. Yeah, totally.
It
it's
is.
To their advantage.
To the developer's advantage. He said, well, I don't have to put... Yes, you have to put the street in. Mm-hmm. But you've got a roadmap to tell you. You'll be able to know what
pay
it is without going to
pay it.
You pay the $200,000 between four of you. This is already done.
Yeah.
Well, I see some plus to that. They won't out there.
Well, community goodwill, because the Redwood area is not going to get better over the next 5-10 years.
It's and we all know, worse. We all know
the traffic.
That's just, traffic mm-hmm. is horrendous.
And that would really be a pleaser for so many people that are like,
well, what a shortcoming in our urban growth boundary trajectory if we put all the growth out there, but you can't get there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We can, sound... just takes California time.
Right. I would say Portland's not the appropriate way to plan for the future of expanding yeah. Grants Pass. So. I think that's how you hang it on ODOT's deal. So we've done our work. We know where we want to go.
Yes.
We're given.
Yep.
We can expand out the other side. It's all up. So yep. That's where we're going. And your infrastructure doesn't facilitate our future
right.
development.
And they hired the same landscaper to do the in-between and the yeah. berm yeah. all through that same
we
area
call,
that would be covered more with
they
concrete.
Call it a landscaper. We call it solid waste.
Well, we could get new lighting down the middle. We could do quite a few things that would really help modernize our city yeah. and get rid of the brown grass.
So you have somebody who's going to do a look at it, preliminary numbers?
We were, yeah, just to get some bounds on it, plus or minus $500,000. And Jason, it sounded like we're just kicking and go 50-50. I'm guessing it's going to be 5,000 or less, just to scope it, to get an idea of
right,
what
right.
it would be, and then phase it. My thought being, you go basically by Mark to Ringette, mm-hmm. Ringette to Redwood Avenue, and then we can deal with the inbound, eastbound, as kind of a phase two or three if it ends up being.
I'd like the inbound to start at the gas station.
Yep, yep.
The gas station yeah. and go.
But that would take a bridge replacement, perhaps.
And I just know that yeah, outbound is going to be, I'm guessing, yeah. $4 or $5 million. It looks like a straight ahead, but I just, yeah. knowing ODOT numbers and it's an expressway and the standards they're going to have to build to and the drainage and all, it's going to a lot more than 950,000, so.
Yeah.
And I understand how there's a drainage element. You're not changing any kind of the I don't know.
The impermeable doesn't change much.
No.
Shouldn't. No.
Shouldn't. It's the Allen Creek crossing concerns me. A new bridge, new underpass or whatever.
Yeah, the inbound. But
mm-hmm,
just the outbound.
Okay.
The largest costs are all those light exchanges. You know, that infrastructure was not designed to facilitate three lanes. It was only there, well, or four lanes. It's only doing three. You got a left-hand turn and two outbounds. So if you add another lane there, yeah, those things are expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed in the right-hand lane,
but
just to try
right.
it,
right?
You know, and I drove all the way to the fairgrounds and turned in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you literally drove in the parking lot.
Yep. I said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm trying out the new commuter lane."
And it, like you said, that could totally be phase three because that's the more expensive part, and you got
yeah.
Redwood Avenue to dump
and the real
one lane off.
Is getting people out of town
yeah.
rush hour.
Yes.
Getting
I
them past Ring Gap.
I don't see that as being a big deal.
No, I've
nope.
never had that
deal.
Issue. It's always been
well,
it's just
it,
a matter
it's
of
still
you're
there,
keeping,
though. It's
you're
building.
Little, you're
it's
dedicating
building.
Two out.
Yeah.
You're dedicating two lanes of through traffic, where now it's one of them is a. Maneuvering lane,
yeah.
you're changing that right lane instead of being through traffic,
uh-huh.
it's now maneuvering lane.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just.
And the concrete trucks
bumped.
Have a place to go to get down to the
that's right.
Mill Street and all that.
Yeah,
yeah exactly.
Well,
without
some
getting
of the parameters
in
the scoping that Rob and I were talking about is that we're not looking to. You're outside the scope if you're looking for property acquisition.
Yes.
No.
And it has
totally.
To be done within the existing thoroughfare
mm-hmm.
on that outbound lane.
And development has left a bunch. Look where Verizon's at and
yeah.
that's where. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. there's a bunch.
Well, I'm talking about the outbound.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right.
My priority is just
right.
phase one. Because
right.
I don't think it's legit to even scope the phase two, because that's years down the way.
Mm-hmm.
And at 5,000, you're not going to get an accurate number for it. So if we can concentrate on outbound within existing right-of-way, you can basically do it now. You know, Commissioner DeYoung was talking about that. It's the lights. It's really...
Yeah. They'd still have to hold in... thought what the other side would look like.
I would like. I'd like to see both of them. You're going to fix it. Let's fix it.
Yeah. Or at least engineer them both.
I agree. I appreciate what people are saying about the inbound isn't as important, but I do it every day, both
yes.
ways. And mm-hmm. I tell you, the traffic inbound is just as bad as it is going
constant.
Outbound.
People are cutting people off to
yeah.
get to that underpass.
So it's
yeah.
It's
my only pushback with that is that when you get to the South Y, you have three different options of going in different directions. When you're going out, you have one until you get to Redwood Avenue. You're going; those
yeah.
two lanes are facilitating one exit. There isn't anywhere else to go. Nobody's going down Ringette or those kinds of places. So it's like it all bottlenecks for so much longer than when you get to the South Y, people are going out 238. They're continuing on 199, or they're going under the overpass and they're going up Grants Pass. So that
spread.
Thing goes that way, but out of town, everybody who's going that direction is going that direction. There's really, eventually it's Redwood Avenue or it's 199. But you're not.
When you're messing with signals and turn lanes,
I still don't want to just say, okay, let's just do outbound and not worry about inbound for 10 years.
I'm not saying you don't, but their objection is going to be if you put these simultaneously on the board is what you want, you're going to get a number of $12 million and the answer is going to be no. So it's got to be very definitive to like a phase.
I think we need to find out what it's going to cost because I don't think it's $12 million. That's 10% of the whole 62 bypass. I'm sorry, that didn't get a flag.
Hopefully not. That is the first wag, though.
But on
the number that's been
the other side, the inbound lane, there's all kinds of room over there. Whereas on this side, it's a challenge outbound.
Yeah, but
because
you don't own it. You don't own it.
Yeah, but you can move it over. Yeah, there's a lot of thinking.
Well,
but it's a way
better
plan.
The time to think about it is now because they've got an excavator and a dump truck out there right next to Red Robin for something.
Yeah, what the heck is that?
Well, the city, I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know what
they're
there for.
They didn't see them move any dirt. But
they're not just sitting there for...
Maybe they're having a hamburger. You ever think of that?
No, it was like 5 days, yeah. A lot of burgers.
I've seen a lot of fire rigs sitting in places.
I just think you don't want to put any more infrastructure, so definitely do the scoping on the other side.
We can scope both sides, and I bet it's not going to be that expensive.
Yeah, but phase it, yeah.
I think
really the intent is...
Scope both sides, then you decide whether you're going to phase it or not.
Yeah.
But I would put it in the original drawing to see what it's going to cost.
And it's really, this is an engineer's estimate. This is not even rough design.
No.
So, okay. Well, I'm happy to be, I'll take point on that and I'll just work with Jason and we'll figure it out. And ODOT may even play along a bit or be able to offer up some traffic counts, whatever they need to do. They sound like they're willing.
I think it's important that we have them come along from the very beginning so they have
They buy it.
Oh,
they're helping.
I mean, Art even kind of threw it out there. They may be able to scope it, but it sounded like that maybe 6 months, maybe a year. So if we want to keep it moving, I just assume.
I think
crazy was when I was talking to, is it Gary, the dark hair?
For ODOT?
Yeah.
Mike Baker.
There's no money for this. Because the transportation bill was not for enhanced.
I know. There's nothing.
So my point about phasing it is there's nothing there to start with. So it doesn't matter whether your number is 12 or 5.
You know, there was nothing there for the 62 bypass. When I first went on there was nothing for the 62 bypass. And all of a sudden now this clear blue sky, $100 million fell into their coffers.
Yeah.
$100 million. And we all said, because we took money from land acquisition and did the talent project when we took the two back here. We had to take money out of land acquisition and give it to talent.
Doesn't it make sense get a transportation bill to do enhance? It frees up whatever you had before as a priorities. I mean, that's the way I could see the budget flexing. So maybe you're right, Commissioner.
Okay, if you don't have something there for them to nibble on, when the cheese comes out of the they have nothing. Well, Grass Pass doesn't have anything.
Yeah,
but if we have this whole project, 12 million, 15 million, whatever it is, a lot of times they look at it and say, 15 million, that's going to keep us all employed
for
18 months. We're in.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Sometimes the little projects, we're not, get away.
Yeah.
We're used to Fern Valley. We're used to Barnett. We're used to 62. Now the 62 bypass. And here you come along with, you want a third lane.
Your cute little project.
It's like going to the bank. You go to the bank and try to borrow $2,500. They say, excuse me? Did you say $25,000? I said, no, I want $2,500. I said, we don't lend $2,500. We'll lend you $25,000 because it takes the same amount of time to do the paperwork for $25,000 as it does for $2,500.
Yep.
And we're not in the $2,500 business. That's credit union stuff. Go see them. And so this is what I'm saying. I think we need to scope the whole thing and shoot for it. I don't care if they don't have any money. We'll try. Maybe that's where they can start saving for.
I can see the mountains today, which is to help.
Having a letter from both bodies that prioritizes this as the number one transportation infrastructure, whatever
issue.
I think that'd go a long way when we're looking to market it.
Yep, start putting our finger on the scale.
Well, if we're going to go back to the Act, I agree, we'll probably have to take it back, send it back to the Act. We're going to have a pretty good script like we did when we got the Allen Creek and 61 back. We're going to have it pretty well orchestrated. We're going to need a choreographer and stuff.
And I would pitch it as the entire Southwide fix. And I would pitch this as the Southwide fix because then you triangulate ODOT to make them say, well, if we don't support this, well, then you better get going on that Southwide study you've been talking about. One or the other has to happen.
Yeah.
So
we got a
Band-Aid here. It might be an expensive Band-Aid, but if it buys them 10 years, they may do it.
But, well, it's got to be part of the overall.
Yeah, it won't change the Y solution.
They'll want that South Y bypass when they're done with 62 bypass. They're going to want that South Y makeover. That will be probably their next big, big project.
I like the way you talk, but it seems like they never turn their eyes towards us.
Really?
I wish I could believe you. I thought we were close when we wanted to get out of the act.
We don't even know about it. What are they striping out there? The next thing you know, they're taking a Fruitdale out of it. I don't know. They just kind of do it. That's probably how it'll happen.
That's the bone they threw us, so we don't eat the whole cow.
They told us.
Well, we did the Fruitdale project.
That's right, they told us.
Their Fruitdale project.
Somebody came up afterward and said, why don't you just let us turn right and block off the turn left there? And I'm all,
Never thought about that.
Never mind. And you know, why not leave the lane there and block the middle of the Williams Highway so you can't do a left? Just let them turn right.
Right.
Right. Exactly. Make that first change. And I was like, I never even.
They do only have one lane out there. I went by there before yesterday. It looks like they've cut that. It's not a two-lane street now. It's a one-lane street.
It's perfect with curbs. They've never done it so nice.
Yeah.
They put curbs and landscaping and dirt. It's the best part of the Y now.
Yeah. Out there, stick a sprinkler head right in the middle of it.
I know.
So, doesn't go anywhere. But we put sprinkler.
I asked Mike Baker. You made a clean spot. I don't suppose you could.
Nice.
You know.
This project, your highway dollars at work.
Yeah, anyway.
That would have been really nice to be able to go right there.
I know, I didn't even. This went right over. Out of all the Jason and the. Everybody, never, nobody brought it up. It's like, dang it. I'm thinking Jason Anderson now.
Yeah.
Not your Jason. Yeah. That would have been a simple step.
Our scope, and then we're still struggling to get a meeting with ODOT. I thought we were going to have a joint opportunity.
Yeah, we were
going to work on that. It's not just the lane. It's not just the beautification. We've got a whole list of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, with ODOT, if you start talking about it, it'll happen in 3 years.
That's been my experience.
So,
You sail those boats out, and then you hope it goes well.
Yeah.
We'll see you later.
So who's working on it?
Well,
I'll get the study going. I'm thinking we'd probably either use Kittleson or DEA since they're doing the TSPs here anyway. They'd be the most geared up and ready to do it.
Right.
And that should be fairly.
So let's make a quick list of what our concerns are with ODOT. Study.
So
first one is scoping
for
the commuter lane. I've left a couple messages for Art Anderson to ask him what we need to do as a county to get panhandling ordinance and whatnot in place at Merlin off-ramp.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting worse and worse and worse. And now put rocks out in the road so people have to stop, and then they hit you up for money.
Safety hazard type thing.
Yeah.
Where's my pellet gun when I need it?
They're pretty ingenious. They're pretty ingenious. So,
wow.
But we want to draw, and I think we sent a letter. The board signed a letter, sent over there. Please put the signs up and whatnot. I was told that if the county sent a letter, ODOT would put the signs up. OSP would be the enforcer. Right now, it's the sheriff, and so I read. And then I heard, you have to have an ordinance in place as a county. So I want to get clarification on what is it, board order? Is it what do we have from the county for them to put the signs in, and then OSP becomes the thing? That's two, and we're working on that one. And then the beautification at our off ramps and why
and
we don't
South Y.
South Y.
Including the exit 58 to where nobody needs to stop there when they're exiting that.
There just
needs to be a barricade on Scoville that allows that incoming traffic to stay in that lane.
Now, if you're coming off the freeway,
left turn. Permitted without stopping type
of
thing?
Right turn permitted without stopping.
The right turn is already permitted, I think. Right.
And if you had the barricade to actually force them into that lane, and the Scoville inbound would not get in.
There's no reason for panhandlers to be there because nobody's stopping.
Nobody's stopping.
So there's a guy up there today, was yesterday, only because you're stopping in a lane in a situation you shouldn't have to stop for.
Yeah.
And he lives in the Blackberries.
Well, not that I want to get it done, but that's kind of like the Barnett solution over there where they have a green light and they have a three light. I always wanted that on Williams Highway where you first get to New Hope.
Yeah.
Or why can't the right lane just go and go,
go and go.
And the other one could turn in and have some like they do over on Barnett. Not that I want to make that on our priority list, but
Barnett.
I was thinking it would make some traffic.
I mean, how often we have them in the room.
Mm-hmm. So maybe it should be.
You better put the whole list in.
Yeah,
it should be comprehensive.
Yeah, because there's trucks coming from Copeland all the time that have to stop there, and they wouldn't have to.
I don't think the list is as challenging as when are we and how are we going to get them in the room, because I think Commissioner DeYoung has tried for a little while, not exactly as, well, it hasn't exactly happened.
Another one I would like to see is I was setting at Beacon. No, I was at Agnes. And either when you're going southbound or northbound, doesn't matter. There's big lumps of tar. The trigger wires are up out of the pavement now. It's that bad.
What do they call it? Like pavement displacement or something?
I go to Memphis, and there's every one of their intersections is smooth as flat as the back of Simon's head. Mm-hmm. And that is not the way it is here. Every intersection we have coming into that parkway. And up north, when you come off 6th and 7th Street, those are the doormats to our city. Mm-hmm. And here it is, the pavement's all buckled and bubbling up and everything, and people go, gee, many Christmas. Yeah. What's up with this? Right. We need a bump and grind, what do they call it? Grind and
patch,
grind and patch or re top it? What do they call it?
Grind and inlay.
Yeah.
So it seems like the proper place would be for us to try and get them, and we can try and track ODOT down and make an appointment to do a joint session at the council chambers, because you've got technically a quorum right now. You as a policy board are able to have a discussion. We're just a council president and a mayor, and so it'd be nice if the whole policy board on the city side was also able to participate. I would think.
Yeah, and we have the room and all that.
Yeah, so we could try and track down ODOT and get in a meeting with them and during one of our Monday sessions.
Well, maybe you could answer this,
Rob. The two-pronged approach. Let's let Dan loose. And
are these all maintenance issues?
That's what I was going to suggest. Why don't we attack the beautification and the Beacon pavement heaving from the maintenance side? And let me work on Jerry. That may be, and leave these other things to the bigger board.
I don't want to go out here and make these guys, maintenance guys, mad and say, hey, you know, we're not doing our job because we can't. I want to hear from them to say,
Why?
Well, they won't be in the room.
What are your,
We do need to get out to George and Russell and just make sure that they know, hey, we're not trying to be critical. It's just what can we do to move the ball down.
What are your challenges? Yeah. Why isn't this being done? If they say, well, we just don't have any.
Is it even on your radar?
Resources, and if it's not on our radar, say, well,
let's just make sure we have two lists. Like it's a maintenance issue, and then we've got stuff at the level of
maintenance and capital.
And
so two different levels there, and I want to make sure we don't just, okay, we've all met in private, and this is, boy, we just got you, now you're next on the block, and so on and so forth, not doing some background on it.
Within 30 days, I have a meeting with Matthew Garrett on August 13th.
That's statewide, ODOT, is that Matthew?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the 13th Monday at 3 o'clock. What I would like to do is be able to report, look, this meeting didn't go real well, or I can't say enough good things about your local people.
Yeah.
So we asked them for a couple of things.
Leverage.
Here's the couple of lists that we went through, and there we've got a plan on all of them. So if we could have that done before the 13th.
I think it would be, when you go to Matthew Garrett, I think buy-in from our locals would be.
Well, and we could have a special workshop if we have to, whatever it takes.
Sure.
If they can't make it on a Monday at 11 or whatever, forget that then. Mm-hmm. What day do you want it, sir? Mm-hmm.
Well, and if the council maybe approves their list and says, those are the things we want you to talk about. Two of you go, and have this meeting whenever ODOT's available, whatever. I don't know that that's a bad thing either.
Right,
that
if we just discuss it.
Into everything, but it's a little formal when we're over there, and it's not as workshop style.
Well, I think too, if you have
having ODOT around the table and let's get out a map and go through this, and with a crayon, this is what we're doing. you get more done.
You guys have crayons.
You do, but the thing that I like, about the more formal setting is it's on film, and if they say something, they're I think more intended to be held to it. Yeah, but
we'll see what we can get. Love to get him over there for a workshop. Yeah.
That should be goal one.
Yep, if we can't.
Should we talk to them just like, say, Mayor, you and I go out and talk to the locals, to the local maintenance people?
That would be huge.
First, and then say, we'd like to have a meeting on this with you guys in the room.
Dan has, yes, you can have those.
Yeah.
Those are the
two guys we need to talk to on it. I've got them on my desk. We need to go out and visit with them and say,
the people who need the maintenance.
So,
I can do that tomorrow.
So are you guys
that's separate.
Okay, but are you guys wanting me to try and set up some kind of setting over there with ODOT?
I think that would be great. Yeah. Right.
But prior to that, maybe Darren and I will go talk to these two guys and say, you know, this is on our radar. Gosh, we just know, what are the challenges from your side?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
What can we help you with?
I can go tomorrow or Thursday.
So then when we get together for the council chamber,
is that going to be about maintenance? Or
I'm
is
in town working, so I just pull out a job and go.
We'll see if we can get a hold of these guys. We'll just sit down.
But very little on the little stuff, the maintenance things.
Okay, so the primary will be the red.
Well, and can you flush out that list as far as the county is concerned? Because there's things that we may not have thought of.
Ongoing issues. Part of mine is the railroad tracks, and I know that's a transit deal, but that center lane in front of it.
Oh, it's horrible.
In front of,
it is horrible.
It is brutal.
It's 6th or 7th Street?
Yeah, where are we talking about?
6th Street.
6th Street, middle lane, right in front of the post office where the railroad tracks are. I mean, it's getting to be pretty exciting. I saw a trailer going through with some blocks the other day, and
I thought,
oh, that's going to be bad.
Yep.
And it was loud. Mm-hmm. It was intense.
Really?
I've already mentioned that to Art. He said
we've replaced those not too terribly.
The other two are fine, but the middle lane,
the
for
middle
some lane's
reason,
really
is
bad. Like, I think it's the
asphalt. It's
asphalt,
not
buckling,
the concrete.
Not
probably.
The concrete.
Yeah.
It's where you come out of the concrete and hit that asphalt. It's a little bit higher or something. Huh. It's intense. I think it's an easy fix of grinding it down or something, but maybe not.
ODOT's got to deal with core, though, just like Edge, which makes it
if you get tough
fun.
Close to that stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for the maintenance center, you guys are going to, do you want me to hit up George or you're going to go try to catch him?
You want to go with us out there?
How either way.
We'll set up a meeting with them and you in the room?
Yep. Sure. Or we get him to come in, whatever you want to do.
Three of us. We just be a sit down and talk and say these are concerns that popped up at our joint meeting. Right, we just know we need to know where to start on
this
thing.
We have staff approaching ODOT, and so now we want to talk to you guys.
Yeah. They're in their office pretty much in the morning, every morning.
You got George there?
George Russell.
Yeah. Yeah, Russ is more of the field guys. George has been good. He's responsive.
George is responsive.
He's been there for maybe a year and a half or two, and he's been really good.
Okay.
Oh, he hasn't been broken yet.
I've been here longer.
Darn. I haven't been here longer.
They've been real nice. I've dealt with them for...
They must be younger.
Nope.
I'll reach out.
Huh?
I don't have any colleagues.
I think I'll reach out to...
as close as it gets.
I think I'll reach out to George first, because he's the manager of transportation maintenance. Reach out to him, and if he says, he may be the only guy. The other guy is a coordinator. He's the guy that actually
Russ is out
does
the field
work.
Going, yeah.
Russ,
yeah. Yeah, you get for the
so report. I think George would be the guy, and I'll get a hold of him today. Maybe we can set up a meeting for the next couple of days. We're going to go over some things that popped up at our meeting.
Sure.
We have these meetings once a month. And
and then he hears it from both ways.
Your turn in the barrel.
And I will say to their credit, at our monthly meetings we do with City Public Works and ODOT, they're fairly responsive. They don't get to all the meetings, but the nickel and dime stuff, they seem that they get on pretty quick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds good. Then we'll move forward.
Okay.
Well, and this one seems to be gaining momentum, so we need to keep the political pressure, like you mentioned, at MPO.
Yep.
That anytime you guys are in the room, I'm going to bring it up.
Anytime
we're into any
And the jurisdictional exchange would be the other one to talk about at the bigger ODOT meeting. We've got a number from them kind of in hand. And it's,
Lincoln Road and Riverbanks?
Lincoln
lower.
And lower. Right.
Lincoln, the Riverbanks off the table?
Riverbanks is off the table.
Okay.
Yeah, we kind of said it was too much
too
fast.
I know they threw that in. Chuck and I both went.
As long as we're dreaming.
Riverbanks? Yeah, and I think we got a pretty good number, so I'm working up kind of some future projections for the board to say, here's what that would look like, us taking it over maintenance-wise, but I think it's a pretty good number.
Are we doing anything? Are you trying to look in the crystal ball what it's going to take to fix those two low spots where the corners are?
Upper Road, we've looked, and we've got, it's not a direct line item, but I feel like we've probably worked about $500,000 of extra money into that as a drainage.
Do you take
fix.
It all the way to the river? Do you
that exactly? There's the
catch box
question.
And get an easement all the way
right.
down?
We'd start low bore at a minimum. We do our ditches a lot better than they do, and I want to try that to see how much I think that's going to fix some of it. It's not going to fix it all. It's a low spot. But, yeah, we'll start at the easy end and work up from there. But, yeah, there could be a couple of big culverts. And taking it all the way down to Hunt or something, I hate to say that, but that's what it could be.
Yeah.
It's just
and then on, as you go out Lower River, before you get to Jen Verna Glen,
yep.
there's a big dip in there that's always high water,
The equipment guy on the right.
Do you build that up and then pay over with
the county? The county put that in at the behest of the adjacent owner years ago, 25 years ago, because it was acting like a dike there, and so we purposely dropped it so the water could move more freely. Mm-hmm. So putting it back.
It does look on purpose.
Yeah. So putting it back in may create other unintended consequences, but yeah, we would have to do some kind of an area-wide drainage study. So that's why there's a pretty big earmark in that jurisdictional payment that would go right towards that, off the top. Yeah.
Well, we all know how expensive a viaduct can be, so. Have another own viaduct over here. Okay.
I'd rather have dirt in a culvert, thanks.
When did you want to bring that, the JX up?
We could do it at that meeting as well. I've got some numbers I've got basically ready for you guys to look at, just kind of projections for what's 20-year cost.
And that one's in the queue, right?
The jurisdictional, yeah. I mean, it's kind of on. They've given us the number, and they'd do it tomorrow if we signed. It's now a matter of, do we all feel comfortable?
It's a little different than the questions we're asking otherwise.
Yeah, I don't know if that muddles stuff, or we even had time to get through.
It's already got its own lane going.
Yeah, that's fine.
Might leave it out of this discussion.
That's kind of one on its own.
Okay. It is. It's already got some legs.
It really is. And then once,
so really just focusing on the south. Okay. Why?
Okay. Yeah. Right, and the entrances.
Yeah. Okay.
How's everything else going in the city?
Cool.
Good. We've noticed you can't see the mountains, though. How's the firefighting going?
Firefighting looks like today. Thank you.
The clearest it's been was last night.
I need to speak to you on another deal sometime today.
I saw stars this morning in the hot tub.
Okay, I'm around.
Just stuff left over from your vacation.
Yeah.
While you were gone, while you were out, I had a couple things pop up.
Sure.
No, the fire is... I went to the meeting. I go every 10 o'clock.
You went to North Valley
in the morning. They have a meeting out at the
just a regular their meeting
out at the fire camp, and you know the governor's office is always there, and the state fire marshal. They're all on board. OSP, the Army's out there, and the National Guard is all out there. So, and every morning, and they really are. In fact, I was mentioning to him. I said we need those maps at our disposal every day, the updated map. And so Ricky was out there. She's got it figured out how they're going to send them to us electronically, and then we can print them, and we'll have a deal. They've pretty well got
onto your constituents as well, right? They can have access to
some
maps.
Yeah, they have access.
I heard there's a great map on the county website.
It's online, and the county website, and also links Oregon to Department of Forestry is very good about that.
Yeah.
So they're
and it's updated minute by minute.
Are they being much better now after the last couple of years of flare-up?
Well, so this one's BLM, which is ODF, and that one down near the Illinois Valley, that's Forest Service.
That's U.S. Forest
Service. It's the Klondike. We have a new district ranger, district director, Merv George, great guy. Stark difference. Not that Robin Mortar wasn't a nice guy, he just wasn't as aggressive. This guy's all over it. Wow. Requested two dozers on the Calmeopsis, and they're in place and making progress every day. So. Commissioner DeYoung's following the more of the ODF,
the great,
BLM one up
the
there.
Great and Creek Fire.
Taylor and I'm down on the Klondike.
And the one going into Ditch Creek.
It's that one could burn for most of the summer. The challenge is it's going to be burning up against the line of the Chetco fire. That's what they're using. So, you know, the reduced fuel loads from last year. But it's still grown up and there's still stuff. And so it's just a matter of if you can't get air suppression out there, it's really tough to get a crew because it's a long way from nowhere.
Golly.
It's just one of those, that's going to be a continued challenge. Dan had a great idea yesterday about putting in these lightning rod deals that funnel lightning down to the ground in a safe way.
Just go up on top of the mountain.
For what they've spent on one of these fires, $1.7 million. You could afford to put up
a couple of those.
Yesterday morning, this was $8.8 million on the Great Creek Fire as of yesterday morning.
Wow.
No, on the Garter complex, so that's big
open. It wouldn't solve all of them, but if you could reduce it by 50%,
50%,
huge.
Just draw the lightning away from ground strikes and so on and so forth.
Because my wife's talking about moving again. It's too foggy in the winter, and now it's smoky every summer.
I know. I hear a lot of people talking about moving.
I know. If the good people start leaving, we're really in trouble.
Yesterday, when I ran into Senator Beartrigger, I said something about lightning rods on the mountaintops and stuff. And I said, hey, as you know, I said, you know what, Senator? I am not interested in how it isn't going to get done. Yeah, I want somebody to tell me how it's going to get done or an alternative thereof. I am so tired of anybody can tell me no. My mother used to tell me no.
All the historic lightning strikes, because we map those like very specifically. You could find out where the highest density, the propensity for them,
as
and the most
storm,
challenging to get to. And just say, let's just try one there.
Let's try, yeah.
As that thunder, lightning reaches the tops of the mountain, that you saw the lightning strikes around Jackson and Josephine. They were all, it was just da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, it was all in a line. Figure out what that line is and see over time if it's done that all along.
You can knock
instead of lighting a fire, all it's doing is going to ground. That's all it wants to do is go to ground, complete a circuit. Nothing more.
Well, and are you guys having citizens come in and say you're not doing enough or I can't get enough information?
Oh, of course. Not so much the information thing. I think we've made, 180 strides in the last, since the
Douglas
complex.
And we've made some adjustments yesterday, and then they're making more adjustments today out there as far as outreach.
We've never had the call center the way they've set it up, so there's a joint information call center up there. They've got 20-something phones. Usually we have 6. Or the interagency office has their call center, and then we have our separate one. Now it's all one.
Nice.
We're all doing it together. It's really, really
same
great.
Information's going out.
Everything is consistent story. It's real
great.
Good.
Because I haven't heard a lot of rumblings in the city, but certainly there are concerned citizens.
Well, people think that we should be doing more prior to it for forest management advocacy, and it's like, man, I'm running out of people to sue. There's nobody left. We're doing it, and that's
when they changed it 25 years ago. That's when it should have started.
Yeah.
Right, unfortunately.
That's a conversation for Wyden and Merkley are going to be at the call center at 1 o'clock today.
Oh, yeah?
Where were you 25 years
staff
ago?
Are.
Okay.
No. Just Molly and Amy. But, they'll convey. I think there's a prime opportunity to try that, get some appropriation for those lightning rods, and give it a shot in the most fire-prone, challenging region in the nation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep.
You need to start something different.
Yeah.
You took out the smoke jumpers.
I told Herman, I said, you know how many days we've sat on the loading dock out there at the industrial park and watched lightning hit Copeland's asphalt burner over and over and over and over again. I mean, you said, oh, I did it again. Oh, I did it again. Oh, I did it again. And that's because it was metal and it was 70 feet in the air. It could have been striking out in the middle of the parkway or, the water treatment plant or something. Nope, it picked that.
Good idea, Dan.
It picked that deal. And
it's kind of going back to basics.
Outside of the box. Rick Rector will like it.
Yeah. Do you guys have anything else?
Well, I just had a couple questions just because it's been a while since we had a quarterly meeting with the city council. And we had talked about having them.
We've had two, but you weren't there.
You're not. That's not true. And then also, economic. I'm just kind of trying to go back to those things. The Economic Development Committee, where they were. They were kind of off base for a while, and they were trying to bring them back in. And I'm trying to think of what came through them.
Have they reported
about
anything?
The airports and the broadband. I mean, I'm just kind of trying to say, and also the convention center. Those are three things that we put out on the table in terms of, wanting to know. We haven't heard anything. So,
I had a meeting. I don't know about the Economic Development Committee. I haven't actually been attending.
Okay.
And so it's a little scattered for me. And, and they're advisory to the board. And if they have something, they'll advise me when I need to be. So I've reached out to a contractor that we've got on retainer to solicit a conversation with the Hiltons of the world, a couple of those.
Okay.
So to try to get them, get on their horizon. If we do move Public Works in the next 3 years, we're going to need, you don't start the conversation once it's shovel ready to go. They're looking now for a place to be. And if they don't know that we're, they won't be looking at Public Works because it's been there for 40 years, but they should be considering some location in Josephine County on that side of the river. We purchased, I think since our last conversation, we purchased the Blair McIntyre property of 4.5 acres or so. And of course, we'll have a community conversation about what that looks like. But for me, in the back of my mind, when Blair came to the county and I went out there, because of the riparian restrictions in the flood zone, it can't be developed for just anything. It's going to have to be for a very specific purpose that fits within that matrix. So I was thinking of dovetailing with a convention center, having an outdoor amphitheater style performing arts opportunity on the river, but you know, somebody comes up with something else that doesn't require all of this infrastructure. It's not like you can just build a hotel there on the corner. Those restrictions, and that's not what it's zoned for. It could work really well. But I think the strategy that the county and the city need to have is there's five other properties or so. The city has access to the river for all of them. You know, if they, they don't have direct access, but Blair,
you're talking
Blair's
about the homes up on the ridge.
Mm-hmm. So if there's an idea of some sort of other purpose that we could use over time as a strategy to, you know, make acquisitions there, looking at that footprint with some sort of a strategy that's bigger than just Blair's. We purchased that because it does have river access and it borders the fairgrounds. That makes perfect sense for us to do that. But and an amphitheater focus, so all of the sound comes out onto 70 acres of commercial property in the parkway, or 199, all of that just makes sense, that having parking at the Y and then a hotel where people can stay, and then you move forestry parks and that yard and 4-H and Three Rivers Bus Barn, then you've got restaurants there that just, it's a one-stop shop where nobody has to really do anything. You can park and go to your concert and stay the night and go have dinner and you're good to go. Kind of like a mini Jacksonville.
Well, that property owner changed the zoning of that property like 10 years ago, so we could change it back to riverfront commercial. Like it was.
I would feel like if there was a cooperative effort of redeveloping all of that, that the city would look holistically of like, what is the
it'd best? But it would have to be part of a plan. You don't want to just go in there and keep changing
and
it up.
No.
Yeah, but another thing we talked about.
It's also a Third Bridge corridor possible. Yeah. Possible.
Fairgrounds manager and I talked about moving the horse barn, the horse stalls, moving them down on about where the old BMX track was. He's, how are they going to get to the track? It's right down their starting gate. They've got their dirt, mm-hmm. so they don't have to walk across the infield like they're doing now at the horse races.
Yeah.
They're not going to be allowed to do that next year.
Right.
They're going to have to go around either on the track
or
their stalls need to go westward, my son.
Well, they're only 90 years old or something.
Yeah, they've been there for even, but you know, if we can get them, they really are an impediment for a lot of things that could go on at the fairgrounds, because we want to use that parking lot, for instance, for the firework. Absolutely not. We've got blooded stock in there. You can't walk by there talking. So they said no, and yet we're parking over by YMCA and walking people around. Every time you try to do anything out there, there's a horse asleep in 47. So if we move the whole thing down there, then Peggy, who's, she's a equestrian. She said, what do I do for my horse shows? I said, what do you have in the livestock barn all year long other than the fair? She says, the only thing we put in there is just the livestock for the fair. I put temporary stalls in there for your horses that are going to be in the arena for your horse show. They can use that livestock barn anytime other than the fair. For your, and it's stalls are right there. You walk across the little alleyway, you're in the arena.
That's true.
Duck soup. Park your trucks out in the parking lot like you do right now, except you're using the horse barn, the livestock barns instead of, she says, you know, that might just work out. So we're looking at a bunch of different things to try to kind of, before you say you're going to move somebody, you have to have a place for them to go, because you can't interrupt that service. So that's, you know, something else to think.
So they're having another meeting, was it tonight that they're having that?
Who's that?
Fair board meeting?
Wednesday night.
It's Wednesday night?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't go to that one. I already said no because I got to go pick my kids up at the airport. So.
Okay. So I'm just going to go back to something Susan C. Ryder said at one point in time. She had gone to a tourism or whatever trying to promotion for hotels. And one of the things that they said is that nobody will come here until we have the data and the statistics to prove that
we're
we can.
Contracting with somebody to
get that. So that was my next question.
Yeah,
is
that's what
you...
this firm does.
Okay.
Would that be something that So Ready could do?
That's what...
No.
Really?
They're in the traded sector, and this
okay.
is not.
Okay.
Not in their wheelhouse. You have to hire one of these people who just does it.
Okay.
I think the preliminary numbers that they've looked at is there is a need. There's a need for capacity here for hotels.
Oh, yeah.
Space.
Even with
well,
the 100 coming
that.
Online.
Yeah, that's
you know,
not.
I'm saying, we say, but they, and I got to say one point, they want
it's bigger than
numbers.
Just that. It's,
they want.
He went
yeah.
through the nine
yeah.
things that they're going to be looking for, and so
So that is on your radar.
We are right for that.
Right now.
Well, it really factors into an urban renewal element.
That's,
I mean, I don't mind participating from a fiscal standpoint, but I don't need to be carrying all the water on the planning element for all of this. So, and the fair needs to understand that they're technically a tenant of county-owned property, mm-hmm. that they've got to defend their best and highest use for that mm-hmm. that spot. For me, I can't see investing in horse stalls. That just facilitate horses being in there. I would need something that could be multi-use. You know, they're not there all year round, but the horse stall is. And if a horse isn't in it, you're not getting any revenue. But if it can be repurposed for something and say, I would much rather spend money on the highest dollar margin movable stalls, you know, those ones they used to go around, and I think we still have some, but I'd buy those to put into a building that can say, yeah, for 3 months out of the year they're horse stalls, but for the other 9 months out of the year it's something else. Because mm-hmm.
I'd like to see their numbers on the horse stall business because
there's a lot of people that board horses down there, and they're not the most responsible horse owners.
Yeah.
We know that. We have some that have got diseases that shouldn't be there. So now you've got a whole quarantine element.
Yeah.
That's not the business.
I want to look at that comprehensively, that whole, the equestrian program really, and that should be part of the fairgrounds. Mm-hmm. But it should stand alone. It should have its own numbers to justify its own existence. It just like, does the car show work for the expo over in Medford? Yeah, it does. This is what it does. These are the numbers it brings in. These are the days that we've tied up that facility. So, you know, it's all good stuff. It's perfectly a sound request to figure out what
Definitely.
That is.
And I think that's the key, is to get the numbers on no matter what it is you're going to do. Because if you're looking at it from the purpose of the urban renewal, is to bring in private dollars. And I think sometimes that's an easy thing to lose sight of, is when we start talking about having and owning the land, of the reality of it is you want private money to come in to develop those, not us to do it.
As long as I'm breathing, I don't have to be part of this board. Selling property that you can never get back is not always the only way. Every time the county or the city leases something out, it pays taxes, just like it was private sector. Mm-hmm. So I would want to retain the ownership of it, because who knows what the future looks like.
Right.
But once you give it up, you're not going to get back.
Heck, like Gentry McKinney said, that could be an astronaut training ground. We don't even know it.
You know? And there's a lot of banks that are going where they don't
have
own
a space
the property.
Force,
there's a,
right?
There's a fiscal strategy that makes sense to them. That not
train
that,
somewhere.
It's better than owning it. They don't want to own it. They want to lease it.
A guy could run that from jail.
Figuring out a way to make that work.
Ask Larry Lewis.
Would be ideal.
Yeah.
I'm not
a
good
deal. Conversation.
Oh, God.
Just a quick note. I sat down and looked at my phone Friday, and I thought I better check, see if anybody called me, because I've been making a lot of noise. I don't hear. And 3 minutes before that, I had a call from 503. Well, that's my sister lives in Portland, so I pushed the button.
Don't talk about later this week.
Okay. The what?
Don't talk about later this week.
Okay. Okay.
So.
Tell you what.
I just got a. Supposed to be
an update.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll talk to you next time.
Yeah. But she did call. The governor called and talked
She called. Uh-huh. And I pushed the button to answer, and I thought it was my sister.
Yeah.
And the lady said, "This is Governor Kate Brown." And I almost, because I'm a smart aleck, I almost said, "Yeah, and I'm John Lennon." But I didn't. I thought, maybe this is. And it was Governor Brown. And we had a very good conversation.
Isn't that something?
For probably 25 minutes to half an hour.
Excellent.
And one of the things I just wanted to bring up is that she is well aware of Josephine County and Grants Pass being on the march. She said, "You guys passed that levy." She said that the whole state still can't figure that one out. And then, but you're on the march. She says, "I dropped by there," and she says, "I noticed." And I said, "Well, we relaxed our SDCs and we picked up a Home Depot, Winco, Panda Express, Starbucks, another credit union, a remodel on this credit union. Then we extended for 6 months. We got a Red Robin. We got a People's Bank. We got the DHS building," and she says, "and you've got a new hotel up there, the Hampton Inn, and an In-N-Out.
And I says, and across the street, we have a new Circle K. We have, that prompted McDonald's to tear their situation down and redo the whole thing. We picked up a little pantry over there and got rid of a couple of gas stations. So he says, you guys are on the roll. And I said, but we weren't always that way. I remember when we came on city council, they had 8 or 9 building permits for a whole year. And we couldn't figure out why. But we are definitely, she said, well, you're definitely on everybody's radar. She said, you're doing well.
We need to capture that.
That's great.
Yeah. So she's aware of that. I was kind of, it's also an election year, so.
It dovetails really well is the idea that there was an Oregonian article that put Grants Pass as the fourth.
Yeah, I mentioned that to her.
I don't, we've sat down and reorganized our public information web person and having a very big focus on public information officer style. You guys do a great thing to our people, but are we doing, who is on your staff or how could we dovetail together to make sure that there's somebody to where we've gotten, the environment isn't conducive to anybody believing anything like that. Right now there's a void of information, I feel, that we're not talking about all the good things and that's our fault. Mm-hmm. You guys do a great job of putting out a publication, but how are we marketing it out to the Oregon, the world, saying,
to the reporter.
That's not accurate. Consistent with the 99 other stories that I've heard about Grants Pass in Southern Oregon. And how do we know it? Because if there's a void there, all I hear is Grants Pass is the fourth worst, and that's the first introduction to Grants Pass. Right. It shouldn't be.
I told the governor, I says, our mean income is right around $39,000. I know that's not stellar, that's not something to brag about, but I says, how can we make the statement that it's the worst place in the world to get a job when I walk by help wanted signs from one end of this town to the other? On my way to DHS? We really do. We just have a workforce problem down here.
I think it's
across the board, everywhere.
Yeah, it's not just McDonald's. People just don't want to find someone to hire.
Yeah.
It's precision companies that are also having trouble.
Right.
And even medical, they're having to reach way out.
That's what I didn't understand. Mm-hmm. Is from working at McDonald's to the hospital with physicians and everybody in between, to nurses, to welders at Rogue Truck Body, to people at Rogue Valley Sash and Door.
Electricians, too. Yeah.
Electricians, heating and air conditioning.
I know.
We don't have any trades.
What I understand is I was going to write something to say that that's so crazy because I don't think it gets any better than this. Yeah. I don't know that it does. We have a 5.2, which is probably half accurate. You know, there's probably 3% that will always be there. So really our unemployment's 2.2.
Yeah.
I don't know how it gets better than that.
Well, and my thing with these fires, too, is we got back to the 50s coming this weekend, and we got thousands of people coming. And they're going to be a little bit like, well, next year going, didn't we have smoke the year before or 2 years ago? And then we had it this year. Maybe it's not the one. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute, don't start that.
Yeah. Well, because it's four out of the last 5 years.
Four out of the last five years,
we've had a prolonged smoke out. Mm-hmm. I had a lady I talked to last night. She used to be with the U.S. Forest Service. So she said, well, it's always been this way. And I said, now you're talking to a guy that was born here 70 years ago. I'm sorry, I can't buy that. The only one that I remember was a Labor Day weekend, and we were all, a bunch of us, Frank Daniels, and we all had the boats up above the dam water skiing for the weekend. Our kids were little, so it was in the 90s, 80s, 90s. And I'm sorry, but it didn't work that way. Mm-hmm. That was the first time that we couldn't see across the river. We could never remember, all of us could never remember. It ever being that way when the loggers were in the woods and they were there to
you
put the fire.
You know what the lightning rods of yesterday were? Yarders.
Yeah, maybe too.
I wouldn't doubt that a bit.
A little clear spot around them.
I really wouldn't. And that may be something.
There are no yarders out there anymore.
Talk to the old loggers and say, did that lightning ever hit that yarder? Oh, man, we sat there in camp.
We had to ground it every time we left.
We sat there with a bottle of Jack Daniel and watched that hit all night long.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, I think you're onto something,
but it's
Dan.
Something that...
Because you're right, it's changed.
Might be something to think
well,
about.
Well, yeah. You,
it's changed.
How could you not get that to be like a college project
and
or
to give
something?
Credit where
you
want to
see if
due?
It works? Let's do a study.
Yeah.
To start installing them tomorrow.
Due? You know who brought that up yesterday? Carl Hanhart.
Yeah.
He had an idea for the South Y, and you ought to be putting lightning rods. And I kind of just, good idea. And then the more I thought about it,
let's stick it on the top of that hill.
Yeah.
Right hill. And
why don't we put it where we want? Not that expensive. you know, use old retired light standards that they take off the side of I-5.
We got the briefing, you know, there was 116 lightning strikes or whatever it was, 160. They put out like 110.
Yeah.
It's the same thing when it happened. There was 2 years, the Douglas complex. Mm-hmm. There were 88. They put out 85. But those three are out in the middle of nowhere, and they're the hardest ones to get to. And by the time you get there, Chief Hoke out in the Illinois Valley says, fire doubles in size every 30 seconds. If it takes you a half a day to get there, or a day, because you're doing all the other ones,
it's you.
Wow.
You can imagine how big it is by the time you get there.
Wow.
But if we can get half of three, so one, to be, you know, the issue, I think it's worth its weight in gold. $1 million?
I agree, too. With the
especially
of money
on the county ops.
The...
I mean, there's no... Mm-hmm. There's no
somebody's just, not going to want that metal rod there, because it's not natural, but you know,
we'll show them the cell phone tower on the next hill.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
No. Good times.
With that, we're adjourned at 12:02.